Hey, everybody, it's Jeremy and Stephanie, the hosts of the RV Family Travel Atlas and Campground of the Week podcasts, and the proprietors and empresarios behind RVFTA.com. And if you could only see Stephanie's face right now.
Oh, boy, you really pulled that one out. All right.
Yeah, we're back with another mini episode, and I'm actually going to interview Stephanie about Penny the Pop-Up, and we're going to get an update on the remodeling job that she's done on Penny. But before we dive into that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Truma. And Stephanie, do you think we should get the Truma AquaGo installed into Penny?
Well, I think that we'll talk a little bit about my budget for Penny, and that might not fit into it. But yes, it is painful to ever camp without the Truma AquaGo once you have experienced the magic.
Spoiled rotten.
Truma is a global leader in comfort technology, and they bring more comfort on the move to North American RVers. The revolutionary on-demand Truma AquaGo can swap out any 6 to 16-gallon RV water heater, and it also comes standard on many new RV models. Visit Truma.net to find a Truma-certified dealer and upgrade your RV water heater like now, today.
You think we're going to be using that Truma AquaGo?
Oh, we already are, and the boys are now. We're going to have to put a limit on it because shower time has become now a thing.
An event.
Mm-hmm.
A hobby.
Yeah, exactly. An activity.
All right, let me give us a quick overview of Penny the Pop-Up, and then you can kind of take over, and I'll be interviewing you because most of this is your work. So Stephanie bought Penny the Pop-Up about in September?
Yes, it was late September, yep.
Early fall. It's a 1996 Jayco Eagle Series 8 pop-up camper. She negotiated the price down to $1,000 off of Facebook Marketplace. It was somebody about an hour away in North Jersey. She had a strict budget of $1,000, and you stuck to it for a long time. You passed up some more expensive options, and I think that you're glad that you did. And you also really liked the Facebook Marketplace option as opposed to Craigslist, because you felt like you were dealing with a real person, less chance of a scam. And then after we bought Penny, we spent about $250 on some basic maintenance and some new breakaway chains, because the breakaway chains were like ready to turn to dust.
They were screwed on.
They were screwed on with like two little screws. They were like the least safe breakaway chains I've ever seen.
Like picture hanger hooks or something. Who knows?
I know. It's crazy. So let's say we spent $1,250 on Penny. You got out in Penny last year for a girl camping weekend for 2 nights, and then winter quickly came upon us. So why don't you pick it up from there? You started the remodel this spring, and I think you had a little bit of a hard time finding time to do it. But once you started, you moved very quickly.
Well, everybody can listen to episode number 166 if they want to hear more about all the details about where we got this $1,000 pop-up camper and what our ideas for it were. So you can just kind of scroll back or go online at rvfta.com to find that. But I had imagined that I would actually get some of the remodel done over the course of the winter, because here in the mid-Atlantic, we generally have some of those cold snap times, and then we have some of those mild weather times in the winter where, you know, it's in the 50s or so, the upper 40s, 50s, and you can be outside comfortably in a coat and everything. This winter ended up being insanely cold and terrible, and forever.
It went into spring.
Right. The cold snap actually started earlier than it usually does. We had a camping trip in Penny planned for, it was like in early November, that we actually had to cancel because it was in the teens.
I think it was actually still right at the end of October.
It was
and
so
temperatures
early,
dropped
yeah.
to like 13.
Yeah. So we were like, okay, well, we're not doing that. So it just kind of like the weather actually really affected my thought that I would just kind of do this little bit by little bit over the course of, I would say, February, March, and April. Well, what happened was we ended up having a Cabela's event, because we're on the Cabela's Camping Pro staff, and they have always wanted us to bring a camper along. And we said, sure, well, that works out great for the Pennsylvania Campout Days in April. We'll bring along Penny, and it'll be fun to set up the pop-up camper and show everybody.
And that puts you under the gun.
Yeah, because, again, we had had such terrible weather, even to the point of it still snowing in late March, early April. So what happened was, all of a sudden, I had about a week and a half to get Penny ready to show at Cabela's. And, you know, in retrospect, it was fine because I needed to just block out my schedule and do it. I mean, here's the life of a mom. There's never any free time, you know, especially moms with young kids, you know, that are so heavily dependent on you for caretaking.
You are starved for free time.
So when you think about trying to squeeze stuff in, it's so hard to do that. So maybe in the end it worked out better because I have a friend, let's talk about Crafty Sarah. So Crafty Sarah was really helpful for this whole process. She's actually my neighbor. We've been friends though longer than we've been neighbors.
Yeah. The boys climb over the fence to go to her house.
So they have, you know, they have kids about our age and we've been friends with them for a long time. So Sarah is a DIYer. Like she loves a good DIY project. She's always doing stuff on her own house. They redid their basement and she contracted the whole thing. I mean, and did so much of the same work herself. Like she put in a laundry chute from her bathroom upstairs to downstairs.
She gets a sparkle in her eye when something's like difficult and challenging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's exactly what I needed. And she just really helped me because what happened was I was on this time crunch and she was just like, let's get this done, to the extent that she even like would call me at 8 o'clock at night and say, hey, let's go over to Marshall's, you know, and shop. And she just kind of pushed me because those kinds of things always go to the bottom of my list.
All right. So let's talk about the remodel. Now, as you said, you were under a time crunch. So I think you had a kind of a simple approach to this. I mean, it really came out looking nice, but this was a pop-up camper that cost you $1,000. You weren't looking to go crazy on this. You did try to keep it simple.
Yeah.
So what was your basic thought process?
All right. So I had a few kind of parameters for myself. And the first was that I really wanted it to be simple and affordable. That was hard because if you go online and you're, you know, on Pinterest and everything, and you're seeing all these camper remodels, the thing that you have to understand is for some of these vintage campers, there is an investment quality for those remodels, like an Airstream. You can, if you are handy, buy an Airstream that's really run down and old, and you can fix it up and put really quality products in the Airstream, and you can flip it, you know, and make money off of it. Now you're going to work hard.
Or keep it for 20 years
right.
Or give it to your kids one day.
Right.
You know, this pop-up camper is in great shape for 20 plus years, but I don't think it's going to last another 20 years.
No. And you know, I don't think it's reasonable to expect that. So for, you know, most of my choices, it was hard because I do have quality taste. I actually prefer to spend money on like, you know, not super high end, but definitely more of a quality product as opposed to a cheap one. And I had to keep myself in check because I was like, this is not an investment. Like this camper may last for a few years and that has to be okay. If the canvas goes, I'm not going to replace the canvas on Penny.
No, we would probably go find another $1,000
right.
pop-up camper.
Yeah. So it had to be affordable. And it also had to be durable. So, you know, although Penny is referred to as my girl camper quite often, the bottom line is that it is kind of going to be treated as a family pop-up also. And so, you know, Jeremy is quite often talking about where he wants to go with the boys in it.
Well, those conversations have been tricky too, because I've mentioned a few times, like, hey, why don't I take the boys for a camping weekend in the pop-up camper? Because I don't know that I'd want to take the toy hauler without you, nor would I need to. And you haven't exactly looked thrilled with the idea of the four boys taking Penny.
Yeah, because I don't think you guys are going to treat her nice. But, you know, I did know that it had to be durable, anything I did. So it couldn't be precious, right? Like, the boys have to be able to run into the pop-up and jump on the bed. And it can't be like, oh my gosh, like, you're going to mess everything up. So I was trying to strike a balance between the two and do something nice that I liked, but also that could withstand my children.
And you succeeded.
Well, yeah, maybe. So
no, you did. And I mean, look, in the notes here, you said you just wanted it to be good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you weren't trying to make it completely finished, completely polished. But honey, to my eyes, it really, really does look wonderful.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's still in the process of, I feel like, me contributing my final touches to it. But I'm really happy. Like, the whole point for me was, could I be in this space and feel really cozy and comfortable and peaceful? Because we talked on the other podcast episode, like, I named her Penny because as I was camping in her alone for the very first time, it was like, I could think, right? A penny for my thoughts. Like, I could think. It was quiet. It was peaceful. And that's what I wanted it to be.
All right, so let's talk about what you actually did. So let's start with what you had to remove. And you kicked some tail on this, man. I mean, I came home from work one day and there was just stuff all over the side of the house ready to go out in the garbage. So
yeah.
What did you take out?
All right, so my operating philosophy on this was just take it all out because Penny is a tent off the ground. She's not going to have a kitchen. Like right away, I said, this is my idea for her. Strip her down to everything basically being a comfortable, dry tent, you know.
And plus, you do so much cooking outside. So even if you do, when you go on your girl camping weekends, if you want to cook, you still will cook. You'll just cook outside. Honey,
I hate to break it to you. I'm not cooking on a girl camper weekend. Like, I think that that is something that a lot of people, moms, do identify. Like, I enjoy cooking so much, but because I do it as part of my job as a mom so constantly, I need a break when it's just me. And I look for a wonderful food.
And so you think it'll be like bringing a cooler of tasty things that
absolutely.
You want to bring.
Okay. Finding local places that I want to try out, that kind of a thing. Inside, I would only have anything electric, like an electric kettle, you know, things like that, that would just heat up
coffee
something
in the morning,
very
too.
Easily. Exactly.
Now, you created so much more space by taking out a few things like mm-hmm. that cabinet. I mean, it really, for it's a small pop-up camper, it feels very spacious inside.
So there was a cabinet in the corner that was really bad storage. It was just this little drawer and this little cabinet, and it was like the most random thing, but it took up so much space, so I ripped that out. I also ripped out the sink and the stove countertop that flips over to close down. Like, you know, it kind of flips and you close down the pop-up. When you open it, you flip it back over. I don't need a sink in the pop-up. The sink was not a real sink. It's like a pump sink. And it's like, that's just silly. I'm not going to be in there washing dishes. Penny's the kind of camper that you use real camping. You go and you wash the dishes at the bathhouse. You wash, you know, you cook outside, like you were saying before.
You also eliminated a step in setup and breakdown by doing that.
Yeah, because it's just not necessary. Now I'm, yeah, so that I got rid of, and I got rid of the propane heater because although it checked out fine with the mechanic that we had look at it and everything. A 20-year-old propane heater just for me felt like, I just felt like I'd be thinking about it in the back of my head. And we have electric space heaters that work really well, and Penny has electric. So I just thought that's fine.
Yeah. And those electric space heaters, the ones we have, you can run them for hours and then touch them and they're not even hot to the touch.
And then of course I took the curtains down, right? The awful maroon and like green floral curtains. It was just so dark and heavy and terribly 90s. You know, of course, she was built in the 90s. So all of the curtains came down.
Now, when you pulled all those things out, but before you started adding things, were you excited and did you see a lot of potential for the space? Or were you kind of a little overwhelmed, like, how am I going to make this charming and comfortable now that I've gotten rid of all this stuff?
Oh, no, I felt good about it as soon as I was pulling that out. Like, when you start to pull things out of a trailer, I do think you get nervous. Like, what am I doing here? Like, I can't go back because Penny was perfectly serviceable to camp in. So I could have just left her alone. So it was kind of like, oh, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah. And I think it really helped that we only spent $1,000 on it, or that you only spent $1,000 on it. I mean, if you had bought a $5,000 trailer that you were fixing up, you might have been a little less crazy about ripping stuff out and throwing it away. So it helps to purchase on the cheap end, I think, to kind of free the whole process up psychologically. So let's talk about what you added to make the space your own.
All right. So the very first thing that I did was paint. All right. Which of course everybody knows that's the poor man's solution to, you know, any kind of DIY project, just paint. So again, my friend Sarah is just a wealth of knowledge about this sort of a thing. And she knew exactly, like, I brought her into it and I was like, let's look at this material, this, like, you know, plywood kind of particle boardy kind of stuff. And also the front of the, refrigerator. I'm not sure. I forget what that is. That's called on the front of the refrigerator, that fake kind of vinyl-y.
I think it probably is vinyl of some
kind.
Yeah.
So I brought her in and I was like, all right, what are we going to do? And she was like, look, the chalk paint by Annie Sloan is going to cover all of this. And I was like, really? And she was like, absolutely. And I trusted her and I went for it and it did. So I did the old white, that's the name of the color, by Annie Sloan. And I did it with clear wax, right? So you can also do the dark wax. You can also do the white wax if you want to get a little of that, like, rough finish. Look at that farmhouse finish, but I'm not a farmhouse. That's not my style. I know that's all the rage right now and it looks beautiful, but it's just not me. So I just did a clear wax finish. I did, you don't have to do any prep with the chalk paint, you know, except for, like, I had to sand down, like, the screw holes. Like, I removed a lot of screws and everything. And I had to sand down any of those screw holes, you know, maybe caulk it up if you want to. It wasn't a big deal for me. I wasn't making a big deal out of it.
This is key here because this eliminated a lot of hours of work.
Oh, Yeah. I mean, you know, I could have treated painting these cabinets as like this, you know, like taking, I mean, I took off the doors and everything and I did all that, but this chalk paint, it is pricey. Definitely. I mean, I think I spent, I spent about $75 probably on the paint and the wax, but I didn't need more than one can of the paint or the wax. So that was really great. And people were like freaking out on Instagram when they saw, like, I think I posted like some stories and they were like, you're just putting that on there. Like, that's what chalk paint is. Like,
might have been a little mansplaining going on.
Yeah, there was definitely like a honey.
I have to
what
say,
are you doing?
Stephanie's dad is like an elite house painter. Mm-hmm. And in New Jersey, he painted the houses of the rich and famous. Yes. And Stephanie grew up painting. So don't mess with the girl.
Well, you know, it's like, it's not my favorite thing to do, but I know, you know, I can do it and I can get the job done well. But this chalk paint was the key and I would highly recommend it for anybody who's doing the inside of the camper. Now, I could have gone heavier on the first coat. I think that I was treating it more like a primer, but I did two coats and it could have done a third to get that really nice, clean look to it. I think it looks fine.
Well, you were also under a tight time frame with
exactly.
the Cabela's event.
But if I had done a heavier first coat and then a second coat, again, I think that that would have been just perfect too.
Okay. Let's talk about the thing that impressed me the most as somebody who's sort of a bystander here to what you and Sarah were up to. I think the flooring came out great. And I can't believe how quickly you guys got it done.
We did it in, I think, 3 hours. Two and a half, I think it might
crazy.
Have been two
I mean,
and a half hours.
I came
hours.
Home from school one day, I looked inside, and you guys were almost done. You were doing some final cuts.
Yeah, so Sarah had used these peel-and-stick vinyl wood planks in her basement, actually. And she was like, okay, well, let's just like look at them, see what you think. And I was like, yeah, absolutely, let's do it. So we did that on the flooring. All you need is a utility knife, right, to make your cuts on your wood planks in there.
And some grit.
Well, we've got plenty of that, me and Sarah. Don't you worry about that. And you need a good floor cleaner, obviously, before you do for prep it. So I did a really good floor cleaner, probably that Simply Green or something that I had. And then we started peeling and sticking. Now, I would say it cost me about $35.
That's crazy.
So each of the planks are like, they're like $1.28.
And it's a small floor space.
And you can buy them by the single plank. So what I did was I actually bought a box and then I just returned all the ones that I didn't use, which was a really easy way to do it. So I think it cost me about $35
total.
Also,
that really kept your total price down on the flooring.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really durable. Now, the most important thing that I learned in doing the floor of the pop-up camper is that there is nothing square in a pop-up. So you don't realize how off.
A lot
off.
Of corners and edges.
But they're all off. None of them are straight, you know? So if you're looking for these like teed off square lines, you're not going to find it. So at first we were kind of losing our minds because what would happen is like, you'd realize that one of the planks that you're lying down is a little bit, you know, crooked because the line of the dinette was crooked. And then you'd be like, oh my gosh, if we do it like this, it'll keep getting more and more crooked through. So we were, the thing that took us the longest time was actually shaving these slivers of the vinyl plank off to try to get it to look straight all the way across because there's nothing straight about the floors of a pop-up. It's crazy. And you don't even realize it until you try to lay something down.
It might not also help that it's 21 years old.
Yeah, but I think, you know what?
Things
I have a feeling.
Shifted.
I have a feeling if we did the same thing in the toy hauler, you'd find the same thing. You know, like, it's just not a house. It's just not like the walls, you know, are built like right. in a line. So, I mean, that was the hardest thing. And we could have lost our mind a couple of times. And at a few points, I would just say, okay, moving on. You know, like, this is under the dinette. We don't need to go crazy.
But you did it. It looked great. It was under budget. Now, surprisingly, I think the thing that you had the biggest challenge with was the thing that I would have thought would have been the easiest for you, and that was the upholstery. So what happened to the upholstery? How did you had a big problem, and you fixed that problem.
I guess, yeah. We would kind of ended up down a rabbit hole. I know I should have cut my losses early on, because what happened was I had somebody that knows how to measure for upholstery, take the measurements, but they made a mistake, and they gave me the wrong amount of yardage that I needed. So I just had this like written down on a piece of paper and I just assumed it was like right because this person does know what they're talking about. They've done that before. And I think it was just like a rushed mistake or something. It ended up being half of what I needed. So what happened was I found this like distressed leathery faux leather fabric on clearance for such a good price. And I bought the amount of yards. It was like, it was a closeout. So I felt what I should have done once I found out what had happened was I should have said, okay, cut your losses, Stephanie, go find a new fabric and get as much as you can.
I really like that fabric too.
I know.
I think that along with the table, which we'll get to in a second, are my two favorite things about it. So I'm glad you didn't do that.
Yeah. So we ended up, we were like, okay, so we can't just upholster them. And I was going to pay someone to do it anyway. And when they told me I didn't have enough fabric, I was like, okay. And that's when Sarah and I decided to do it ourselves. And to be honest, I saved hundreds of dollars because I did it.
And Sarah really came in with a great idea here.
Yeah. So what we did was we decided to wrap the cushions in, like, you know, the gift wrap upholstery style instead of actually get them, you know, reupholstered. And we went and we got custom cut plywood at Home Depot to fit the backs of the cushions so we could staple gun into them. And then we actually wrapped and then we put, okay, so I removed the foam out of the cushions, put the plywood into the cushions. Right. So the plywood's inside.
That was a little challenging to
do. Yeah, I got a little sweaty and then put the foam back into the cushions, zip them back up. And they're in great shape. The cushions really are in great shape still. I couldn't believe it after all these years. And then we wrapped it and staple gunned them to the back.
It's a Jayco. I'm not surprised at all. Now, we have used the camper since you did this. And I think, I mean, isn't it fair to say they came out really, really good and they're really functional and
you didn't
really lose anything?
So
in
we
the
ended
process?
Up doing a two-tone. So we have the faux vinyl, the faux leather. Like the vinyl on the bottoms of the, and then we have this like nice textured cotton, woven cotton for the top part of the cushions. And I really like the two-tone look of that. I was incredibly happy with that.
All right. Now the ugliest thing that you took out were probably the curtains.
Yeah.
So tell us what you did to replace the curtains.
All right. So what I did was I actually have a lot of sewing in my past. I used to make like tons of my clothes in high school and everything. My mother was a very adept seamstress and she taught me how to sew everything. But we actually had a house fire years ago and I never replaced my sewing machine. It was just something that, and I was like thinking, oh, do I want to like borrow someone's sewing machine? And you know what? I was like, no, I don't. I don't even want to bother with that. I'm doing like the whole Stitch Witchery thing. And I actually got curtains from
Marshalls,
I think, not TJ Maxx. I think I got them from Marshalls. And I cut them to the exact size, you know, using the template of the ones I took out. And I just Stitch Witcheried the seams. And it was so fast and so easy. And then I took the clips from the actual curtains that were already in there. I cut them out and I hot glued them onto the new curtains.
And did that feel sturdy?
Yeah. So what happened was I don't have enough of the clips. So I had to order them from Walmart and they're like ridiculously expensive, those clips. I guess it's not something that people buy a lot.
Didn't you even reach out to some of our contacts in the RV industry?
Yeah. Yeah. Our wonderful toy hauler friend, Brent, actually helped me out with the stripping across the top because like if you look on Amazon, I mean, they're trying to charge, it's like gold, how much they're trying to charge you on Amazon for this. So
it's not that many people want them and the people that want them really
badly.
Want
them bad, I know. So anyway, so that worked out fine. I think I'm going to put up more of the clips because I want it to have more of a bunched look than it has right now. It's too spread out for me.
Okay, now the bedding. Now, I'm not sure. You are completely satisfied with the bedding situation, or are you at peace with the bedding that you found?
I'm torn because I'm completely satisfied with the comfort and coziness of the bedding. So what happened was I actually got twin duvets from IKEA that fit the beds perfectly. They were $9.99 a piece and they're perfect solution for covering up the old mattress and just having a duvet cover on it. That worked out great. But now on our very first trip last fall, I just used what we had, which was the Cabela's sleeping bags that we had gotten last year that are incredibly soft and cozy. They're like the old fashioned kind of sleeping bag with that.
They're very thick. It's like lying down on a cloud. And I think that, you know, you want this to be a very relaxing, comfortable place. And those sleeping bags really helped.
Yeah. So those were the Mountain Trapper sleeping bags from Cabela's. And so I loved them on that first trip. I was like, this is perfect. And then I loved the idea of the sleeping bag because I was like, you know what? you just throw the sleeping bags in the car and then you set up, because you can't really keep your bedding on your pop-up camper, guys. If you're not sure about that, if you don't know, really usually the pop-ups don't close all the way if you keep the bedding on. So those are the Mountain Trapper, and I loved them, but then I was like, but this color is all wrong because it has a bright red plaid on the inside, and I didn't want a bright red plaid in Penny. I knew that. Like, even though I love those sleeping bags, I was like, that's not my style. That's not my color scheme for her at all.
And they're such a pronounced thing to look at when you walk in.
Yeah.
It's not a small item to look at.
So there was this other color that Cabela's had in their Outfitter sleeping bag line, and it has like a chocolate brown outside, and it had like this rusty colored plaid inside. So I was like, you know what? Maybe this'll work. And so I put them in there, and I'll be honest with you, they are so cozy. I mean, these sleeping bags. So here's the honest truth. Would I be okay with them if I didn't care at all about the aesthetic? Yeah. They're huge and comfy and cozy. Are they the exact color that I wanted for inside? No, because the chocolate outside is a little dark. I wanted everything else except for the faux vinyl to be light.
So you're getting a peek into Stephanie's soul here, because she cares about her aesthetic, but you're not hyper fixated and particular on it. I
like my aesthetic to be very practical. Like, I want it to do both things.
And this is practical in the sense that it's comfortable.
Oh, absolutely. And there's nothing else that I'd rather cozy up under, right? So I'm a little bit torn. Do I just say these are great and this is what I have? Or do I go and maybe do another IKEA trip and try to find a duvet cover that I like a little more?
We'll see what she does.
I'm a little bit torn. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the table, and then we'll talk about anything left that's still in progress. Progress. The table is your favorite thing, and it's my favorite thing, and it almost gives it a little like wow factor when you walk in.
Yeah, it did for me. I knew that it had to be, because I wanted a really neutral space. And, you know, people get nervous about that. It was like, where's your pop of color? Hey, folks, like... Like, just because they keep telling you on HGTV that you need a pop of color doesn't mean... I was the one who told people when they're working with their RV, right, makeover, in our RV makeover content over the last few years, I've always said, pick one, like, color pop if you're not going to redo a lot, just to make yourself feel a little more homey, a little more design sensible. And but this is different, because I wanted this really clean, neutral, quiet space.
Is that partly because Penny is very small that a pop of color might not work in the same way?
Oh,
for
I just
you
wasn't
personally?
In the mood for some, you know, like traditional pop of color. I just was, and it might. So now, actually, I do kind of have a pop of color, and people can look over at rvfta.com at the pictures and everything and see. But to me, actually, the pop that I was looking for was the metallic pop. So what I did was I had this old linoleum covered pop-up table, you know, for the dinette. And we decided we were going to try to cover it with galvanized steel. So I don't have any of the materials to do that myself, because you have to like, you know, you have to deal with the edges and everything when you wrap something in.
But lucky you, we live in a boating community where there were people nearby to help.
Yeah. So I called a metal worker over on the docks and I was like, do you want to do this for me? He's like, yeah, sure. Drop it off for me. So I literally just, you know, dragged it over there that same day. And I dropped it off at his little workshop on the, you know, over on the boat docks and everything. And he did it for me in a couple days. It looked so good.
And the price he charged you.
Well, right. So
I think he just found the whole thing charming that you were doing it.
He thought it was a fun project and everything. And I said, are you sure 60 is enough? Because he had, when I called him, I'd been like, well, how much do you think it's going to cost me? And he's like, $60. And then when I picked it up, I said to him, are you sure 60 is enough? And he goes, yeah, but tell everybody that I charged you 90.
In case all your friends restoring old pop-up campers.
He thought it might be a thing and all these people start coming to him.
It looks phenomenally good. And it's functional and practical and a place where you could put down your drinks.
It's beautiful.
And,
yeah. I love it.
And it could get beat up a little bit, too.
Yeah. And it's also fun to do things like that a little bit, because you look for, I'm like, I would do that in the future with something else that's
maybe
more.
Even in the main family RV.
Right. Like, I feel like in the pop-up, eventually, if I say goodbye to Penny, like, I'm going to be sad that that table's going with her. Nothing else. Like, I feel like the table will be
would
the thing.
Would you ever do that to just an outdoor table that we would use for the RV?
No, I would. Like, I don't know about the RV. I feel like more, like, I'm thinking at home. Like, oh, I could picture doing this for, right now, it wouldn't work in our home, but, like, as a kitchen island kind of a thing or something. Just the look of it is so great, and I love it. So.
Okay. What is left in progress? What are you still wrapping up?
All right. So the sink, right, area that I ripped off, okay, that top is just a clean now counter. And right now I paint at the top, but what I was specifically looking for was a cork countertop for that.
And by the way, it's a pretty large countertop now that you've created for yourself.
I mean, about 2x4.
Very practical for, you know, to keep your food that you're using for the week or to make some things or just to make some sandwiches.
Your kettle, your mug, that kind of a thing, right? So I wanted
it
to
charming
be,
too.
I've had a really difficult time because you have to think with a pop-up, everything has to come in. So it had to be super thin. So a couple of the different countertop options that we found, they were all a little too thick for the bed and to be able to come over it without scratching it up or ruining it. So I think I finally found, I have something actually en route now. It should be here any day.
There have been some boxes showing up without Jeremy's names on them.
No, not a lot. This one should be here. You're just thinking of like the stair covers that came the other day. That's not for me. If I buy house items, you don't know what the heck they are. But this, I did find something. It was a little pricier than I wanted to spend, but I looked so much for that cork top and I did want that cork in there. It has a nice texture, a nice color to it. And in my head, I always had that cork in
there. And this is the space where Stephanie removed that flip over kitchen, which was not really going to serve any function for you. I mean, you could bring a jug of water with you and just keep it right up there on that space.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. Just the area for storage.
What I like about that space too, if you did want to get decorative with it or stage it, you could do something different every time with that space if you wanted to.
Right. And that's it is. It's just a nice little area for whatever nice, you know, like little old plant. Like I have these little succulents now that I just got for RVs that are really cute and they're magnetic. So it's like those kinds of things can go there. And I just knew that I wanted that space to be able to be my space, not a silly sink stove that I wasn't going to use.
All right. So let's talk about some big lessons learned about this project. And I'm really super curious, like, what do you think now in retrospect about doing this? Was it worth the time? Was it worth the money? Are you happy with it? Would you do it again? What did you learn?
Yeah. I mean, I would do it. The thing is you always learn everything, right? The first time around. So yes, everything's more difficult. And I think that if I did it again, it would be super easy. And in fact, I could do these quickly, right? Like I actually think that I could, the way that I did it, I kept it simple. I wasn't doing one of these travel trailer renovations that's trying to be like spectacular. It was just making a kind of a very non-styled 90s pop-up into a fun, pretty space.
And I think for anyone out there in restoring a camper, you know, Stephanie's pointing out something really important. You could restore an old Airstream and that project could become the price of, you know, half of a new Airstream, you know, very, very quickly. Restoring an old $1,000 pop-up camper is a much different type of project with a much different type of purpose, don't you think?
Yeah. And I think that one of the things that I didn't think about with the pop-up was that it's actually harder to do things style-wise in a pop-up than it is in a travel trailer because everything folds down. So it was not something like I've been so used to doing our travel trailers, like our White Hawk and kind of personalizing that. And now our Octane that I forgot, like you can't put things up that can't come down.
Unless you want a lot of work in the setup and breakdown process.
Even space-wise, like, so one of the things that I didn't think of was I went and I got these curtains that I really liked. Well, I forgot that, oh my gosh, when I fold down the pop-up, everything's going to crunch up. So now, the first couple times that I've opened it up, they haven't been incredibly wrinkled. But now but I'm waiting to see if I close the pop-up for a while, if I open it up, if they're all going to be wrinkled, because I didn't think of that.
Well, like you said, though, if you do it again, it's going to be easier and there are lessons learned, which is
why part of me hopes that you... I would think, now if I did it again, I'd be like, oh, I need a fabric that doesn't wrinkle easily. Like, and I never would have thought of that before. I was just looking for curtains that I liked.
Any desire, I mean, this isn't the final question here, but any desire to do one again, or did you get it out of your system?
I first of all, I'm not sure. Second of all, I don't think I got it out of my system. I think I learned a really good lesson that we always need to keep ourselves doing new things. It has been so hard for me over the past 9 years of mothering three kids within 4 years of each other to ever pick up a new hobby or anything. You can't even do the old things that you used to like. And I think doing this, even though I was stressed because I was like, oh my gosh, this is so much time. You know, I don't have a lot of space in my life for all this extra time. It felt so good to exercise muscles that I'm not exercising in everyday life. And while I was doing this, I was really thinking a lot about that it's just important to get ourselves out of our boxes. Like, we can get so stuck in the everyday that we forget to try new things. And that new thing might not be the thing that you do for the rest of your life. Like, I don't think I'm going to be restoring campers.
I don't know. And with Crafty Sarah right next door, I don't know. I really do see you guys doing this again.
But here's my point, is that everything you do doesn't have to be a thing that you're going to do forever and a million times. It can just be something that is a project for right now that gets you a little bit of breathing room, a little bit out of your box.
And I think the other lesson that is attached to that, which you've kind of been saying throughout, is don't get too precious about a project like this, because that might keep you from doing it, actually. That mentality, right, that I've got to do this perfectly.
Yeah, that was something that was on my mind a lot when I was doing this project, because what happened was I was raised, my mother was a perfectionist. So when we would sew, she would actually hand stitch her hems. And what would happen, and like that was how things were with all of our projects, she was a perfectionist. So what would happen is projects would build up. And I actually think I internalized a good enough mentality very early on in my life, because I remember being like, no, I want to finish this dress. And I just zip through the hem. And my mother would like have like a panic attack watching that. And I was like, I don't care. I just want my dress to be done. And nobody's going to study my seams, and that's okay. And I think that that's been something that's been very important to me in life. The good enough philosophy and not getting like lost in all of the nitty gritty details. And then I also love having friends that do focus on some of the details and can kind of bring my eye to that. It's a balance.
But perfectionism can be like debilitating.
Right. And I know that through my experiences in life. And it's always been something that's been very important to me to be like, hey, does this satisfy the need for right now? Great. Now let's move on.
And you have listed Penny on Outdoorsy. She is an official listing, and we have people asking about her already.
Yep. So that was part of the plan too. And I didn't want to get too attached to everything that I did so that I wouldn't feel comfortable sending her off for a rental. That was part of that durability factor. I do feel a little attached to her after doing that whole thing. And I do think that it will be a little bit of an emotional thing to be like, oh, sure, go camping, Penny. But again, I think that having those really practical elements to her where she's really stripped down and easy to use and easy to clean will help.
Well, and with that Outdoorsy insurance, if anything bad happens, you can go buy another Penny and fix her up again. All right. A huge thank you to Truma for sponsoring our series of mini episodes over the course of the month of May. We'll be back with full length episodes of RVFTA in June. You can visit Truma.net to learn more about the Truma Aqua Go, which we love. I could use a nice hot shower right now.
All right. Head over to RVFTA.com. If you want to see the show notes for this episode, we'll have all the pictures of Penny and everything, and you can see what she looks like now, all fixed up. And you can also visit our friendly Facebook group, RVFTA, the group over on Facebook. If you have any questions about redoing your own campers or anything else RV related, travel related, we've got friendly folks over there that give lots of great advice.
And if you've been listening to our podcast for a while now, or listening to the Campground of the Week podcast, but never gotten around to giving us an iTunes review, we sure would appreciate it. It would make us smile. It would make our day. Those reviews make us really happy. And plus, we get to read some of them on air.
Yeah, so DJ00885 gave us a 5-star review entitled Great and Very Helpful. And he said, Jeremy and Stephanie are very knowledgeable, very positive hosts. They share great information, not just on RVs and gear, but travel, parenting, etiquette, cooking, and so much more. This is my favorite podcast, without a doubt. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate
it. That's nice. We appreciate it. And everybody, we will see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.